The Word of God is the seed containing the very life of God. It is His agent of transformation. As you receive these words in your heart with faith, that life is released into your spirit, and your life receives a supernatural lifting. Join Apostle Joshua Selman as he brings you God's Word with simplicity and power.
Lift your voice and speak and declare that I am an overcomer. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I am an overcomer. Lift your voice and pray. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Him. And then in Him it belongs to me. Through Christ belongs to me. Through Christ belongs to me. Shabarata kabarato sodo baladaba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'd like you to lift your voice and say, Lord, help me trust you. I am human. Help me trust you. There's something about my humanity that frustrates my trusting you. Help me trust you. Help me trust you. Help me trust you. Shabarada katara. Help me trust you. Are you praying? Lekabrasada retire. Challenges are not unusual, but defeat is very unusual. Very unusual. Are you praying? Please lift your voice and be serious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mike made a statement that touched me so much when he came up. He said, there are limitless possibilities, but they are dependent on your desire. Not just careless desire. Proverbs 18 verse 1, through desire, a man, any man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, I desire an encounter. There is something I need to hear tonight that will take me to the next dimension. There is something I have to hear. There is something I have to hear. There is something I have to hear tonight. Shila parato sosibada kalaparianda kasivata. There is something I have to get tonight.
Nobody like you, Lord.
hands, lift your voice and declare. Declare before him.
All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord.
Fountain of wisdom.
All I need is you.
The awesome one, the mighty one.
All I need is you. All I need is
I really want you to sing it, that part that says you hold the universe. Can you sing that part? That's what I want you to hear.
You hold the universe. You hold everyone on earth. Yeah, you hold. You hold the universe.
We choose to believe you. We are men and women who have chosen to trust you. We believe you. We believe your ways. We believe your truth. We are not rebels. We will not argue with your truth. Your word is infallible. It's been tested too many times to be doubted. Lord, tonight we align our hearts to your truth. The truths that make us free. And the truth that can lift us up. We declare in the name of Jesus that that word that upholds all things will uphold our lives. Lord, tonight we submit our hearts to your wisdom. We declare our need for wisdom. We declare our need for wisdom. And Lord, we crave for it. We cry for it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before we sit down, it never gets too much to pray. I just like you to pray just one prayer and say, Lord, I crave for your wisdom. I reckon that I need more of your wisdom and I crave for it. Like a man seeks for silver, like a man seeks for gold. I crave for your wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing the Bible says. Therefore get wisdom. It says, with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring an ornament of glory, a crown shall she deliver unto thee when thou dost embrace her. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Good evening, everyone. I never marvel, stop marveling at the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God can turn any man who believes it and walks in that reality into a sign and a wonder. Hallelujah. And I sincerely believe with all my heart that that is why we are here. I come here because I recognize my need for wisdom. I recognize that it is only in his presence and only when his word is accurately communicated, the principles of the word are accurately communicated, not the information. The information has no power to produce change. See, let me tell you something. When people do not have faith, it is not because they do not believe God. There is a level of accuracy with which the word of God was designed to be communicated. And if that word is communicated properly, there is a spiritual logic to it that becomes the basis upon which the faith of the people are grounded. Paul said, when I came to you, I did not come with the excellency of speech, he says, but in the demonstration of power, that your faith will not be grounded upon the wisdom of men, Sophia, Wisdom that is a product of education, experience, that is limited. Suggestions of men, opinions that were based on a very short view. But the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. It never said it's settled in the earth, it's settled in heaven. It takes doing what heaven has done to make the word settle in our lives. In the name of Jesus. So I welcome everyone. Thank you for coming as always. Those following us online, thousands of people. We love you. We honor you. Let your hearts be open. Let your spirits be open. For those coming here for the first time, this is Koinonia. And we're on a series, Thrive Part 2. Thrive. This is Part 2. The series is an attempt to concretize upon our hearts some of the keys that are required for transgenerational relevance. Some of the keys that are required for rising above the vicissitudes of life. Like I said last week, it will be irresponsible to pretend that the economic turmoil, the hardship, and all of the things that people are going through, it's not telling on people. You cannot imagine the stories that have emerged as a result of people's frustration. Whenever a people are limited in any way, it will only take time they will react. And oftentimes, they will react based on the informations that they have. So they will use violence, they would do a lot of very stupid things. I've heard of people walking naked for money. I've heard of people giving their children for all kinds of immoral things for money. I've heard of people doing all sorts of things. And the truth about it is that except you are shielded with revelation, you will really feel the gravity of what is happening. Institutions are lamenting, churches are lamenting, social organizations, businesses lamenting, the government itself is lamenting. And that means that we have to source for light and life from another dimension, another reality that is beyond the scope of the human experience. Amen. And I started sharing with us last week how that it is possible to rise above these things. I love the song that the worship team communicated. There is victory. Listen, listen. There is no experience of anyone, regardless of what the peculiar experience is, that is worthy enough to disprove the power, the integrity, the glory, and the efficacy of the person and the word of God. Are we together? If I die today of sickness, my dying of sickness will raise a lot of questions among those who love me, those connected to this vision, and several people across the world. But it does not change the fact that God is mighty and it is within His power to heal. Are we together? If you really want to receive from God, you must desist from isolating your singular experience and using it as a template to judge everything the Bible says about God. Because our experiences are limited. The Bible says that we see in part, 1 Corinthians 13, we see in part, therefore we prophesy. Our communications and that which we do is according to our perspectives. This is why I seek Him as a matter of life and death. Let it not be that I'm holding on to a perspective that after many years of being convicted by it and leading others to be convicted by it, I discover that I have lived in error and I've communicated the same to people. The Bible says that we be careful so that what we call light be not darkness. After many years of a man's life, you can discover that the very foundation upon which your convictions are built upon is wrong, inaccurate, imbalanced. Are we together? So when we come before His presence, our hearts must be opened. You don't come to God with an opinion, hoping that He agrees with you. When you come to Him, your heart is absolutely open. You say, Lord, I am aware of my vulnerability. I'm a product of culture. I'm a product of genetic programming. I'm a product of environmental conditioning. And many of the realities that I've held as true, though popular, though spiritual, may not be consistent with your path. So I come to you with every open-heartedness, trusting that you will build, you will tear down, you will rearrange and bring order to my life. And that's what God is doing in the name of Jesus. Every time you see consistent results in the life of a man, in the life of a people, in the life of a territory, it is because there is something that is done correctly. Whether or not the practitioners are aware of the dynamics of what they are doing. Are we together? Whether or not the individuals can explain in detail what they are doing or not. The moment you see consistent results, regardless of limitations, there are laws, there are principles that are being practiced. Are we together? And I'm going to take it from there. I shared with us a few things, 4 points in all. We took two. I will begin to take from where we left off last week, and then we'll continue. Number one, I told us that the key to rising above the vicissitudes of life, rising above the challenges and the things that hold men crippled spiritually, economically, and so on and so forth, the first key is a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ. The first key to becoming relevant is not being educated. The first key to becoming relevant is not having business acumen. It's not even being a leader. Are we together? It's not any of these things. Success and any kind of impact, a life of notable impact, starts from the health and the quality of a man's spiritual life. Say amen. The measure of your impact through God in the kingdom is directly associated with the genuineness of your hunger, the sincerity of your love for God. While we're away on a ministration in the course of the week, I met a man of God who was at the meeting, and he just came to see me and talk to me. And God did great things and honored himself in the meeting. And the man sat down and he began to weep like a baby. And he said, "Sir, what is the secret?" I don't know how many times people have asked this. What is the secret? And I kept looking at him. And I said, "Sir, I can bet that you might be disappointed if I tell you. I wish the secret were just fasting and prayer. I wish the secret were just the quality of my word study life. I wish the secret were just that I was anointed." As important as those things are, I told him, if you want me to be sincere with you and you have the heart to receive, the secret to the dimensions that by the grace of God I've been able to access, are we together, is tied primarily to my passion for God and my sincere desire to see Him glorified. My passion for God and my sincere desire to see Him glorified. You've heard me say it, and God knows my heart. I love God more than ministry. I love God more than money. I love God more than anointing. I don't use Him for these things. Never have and never will. I'd rather give up ministry 1,000 times to remain in His presence and to remain in love with Him. I even love Him more than the quest for His presence. This is where I believe many people miss it. Because primarily our motives are corrupted. God for us means many things. For other people, He's just a solution, like a charm, like a genie that you use and invoke His name, invoke His blood, invoke His fire, invoke whatever to get results. You're not going to really host extraordinary results that way. Are we together? A genuine encounter with Jesus that births the fear of God in you, that births love for God and love for humanity. It's not enough to love God. You must love the people He has sent to you. And you must love the body. I love the body of Christ with all my heart. I am part of it. I'm proud to be part of it. I love the body of Christ. I may not agree with every perspective in the body of Christ. I may not hold as part of my conviction every opinion and perspective, but it's too little a reason to not love the body of Christ. I love the body of Christ, regardless of man of God, regardless of denomination, regardless of exploits or setbacks. I genuinely love the body of Christ. Now let me tell you, when you get to this spiritual state, when you can assume this posture, you are ready to host the grace for transgenerational relevance. Not outside of this condition. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it come into the heart of any man, that which God has in store, not for them that pray, not for them that seek Him, for them that love Him. When a man truly falls in love with God and is addicted with His presence, His life, everything about God becomes an obsession to you. His house, His life, His word, everything, your whole life is poured as a drink offering. Then you are ready to rise above any challenge. I'm telling you, challenges will come upon you. You will rise and shake them off as if they do not exist. Believe me, I know what I'm saying. Are we together? So we discussed that, and I said how that many believers, they may be born again, but they've not had a genuine encounter with Jesus. An encounter that is greater than any circumstance. You know, when people doubt God and turn and insult God to His face over situations and circumstances, Lord, I prayed for tea, You didn't give me tea. I prayed for bread, You didn't give me bread. I prayed for CGPA, I prayed for a job, You are not faithful. And you know, God, if You don't do this, I will backslide. It's because you've not had an encounter. The remedy for that kind of talk is just an encounter. It's not counseling. The remedy is an encounter. There is a way that a man encounters God, that you owe Him your allegiance regardless of what happens around your life. Are we together? It's very important. Whether you bless me or not, I'm in love with you to a point of addiction. Whether ministry rises or not, it does not contribute in any way to influencing my love and my appetite for you. Please, I pray that as you listen to me, this will become a reality. That this will not just become a talk from a preacher. You see, when you are pretending certain things in the kingdom, it will only take time. Time does not change anything, but time is a revealer of motives. Time will reveal whether you genuinely love God or not. The second thing we said that is the key, and I'll pick up from here now, that's where we left off last week, is the power of mental transformation. The second key that is required to rise above and beyond the challenges in life, listen please, to rise above the limitations that plague mankind, to rise to a life that is of notable transgenerational relevance, a degree of kingdom impact that outlives you if Christ tarries. The power of mental transformation. Listen, I said it never tires me to communicate to God's people the extent to which the quality of their paradigm can determine the course of their future in ministry, in life, in business, in marriage, in any area at all. The quality of your mindset. Are we together? And I told us last week that we are conditioned in two ways, basically. The first condition is a genetic programming. We are programmed genetically by reason of the transfer of traits. I'm being very slow and being very detailed because I want us to get this. The second, which is the most disastrous or most notable of the transformations, is environmental programming. Say environmental programming. We are programmed environmentally, which can be engineered by culture, past experiences, our levels of exposure, the environment that we grew up in. Chances are that if you never saw a successful person growing up, you do not have a reference. You see, belief is based on a reference. Are we together? You cannot believe vaguely. There must be a reference. Preferably a physical living reference that becomes a standard and the platform upon which your convictions are built. This is why the disciples were very powerful. Jesus was a reference. And that's why every leader that must teach people, part of the assignment of every leader is not only to communicate his persuasions, but to be a reference of the same. It is easy for people to believe when there is a measure, when a leader is in different ways reference worthy, it becomes easy for individuals to connect. When a man is teaching about the anointing and there is some degree of the demonstration of the power and the grace of God upon his life, it becomes easy for the listeners to be persuaded by that dimension. Are we together? It is very difficult. Listen, it is very difficult to persuade people over a reality that your life cannot be a reference of. No matter how little the reference is, that it is worthy of conviction. The same thing I am teaching now, I am going to be teaching it 10, 15 years to come. But it will be more impactful than it is now, because by that time my life will be a higher reference than it is now. The same way some of the things I'm sharing now were the things that I shared a number of years past, but their impact were not as impactful as it is now. Of course, I've grown in the anointing, but also there have been maybe a few evidences here and there that can back up and support that communication. Communicating a dimension of spiritual reality or a dimension of any reality that does not have your life as a commendable reference is very frustrating. This already is a lesson for someone, that if you want to change your world, the first key is to change yourself. That you become a template enough. People are not that hardened. People are only obsessed with results. It is God that sees the heart. Men look at the outward appearance. They want to see that if you are teaching on divine health, there is a measure of that reality at work in you. If you are teaching on kingdom wealth and prosperity, there is a measure of that reality. If you are teaching on leadership or excellence or dimensions of kingdom reality, there is a level of persuasion that stems from your own experience. Are we blessed tonight? The power of mental transformation. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith. We discussed that last week. It said, even the salvation of your soul. The salvation of your soul. Bringing your soul through the renewal of your mind to a point where it can host the realities that are resident within your spirit. I began to discuss with us, and we've done this over different series as we've discussed through the years, the power of paradigms. Look at me. Listen, let me tell you something. As great as a man is, he can limit God. Remember our scripture that has become an anthem in this place, Psalm 78 verse 41. They limited the Holy One. They limited the Holy One. They limited the Holy One. They said, can God make a table in the wilderness? They limited the Holy One. It was not their fault, it was their conditioning. After 430 years of servitude with no hope of deliverance, it was understandable that such a people, as a corporate entity, can doubt God. Something about our culture, as good as it is, something about our cultural experiences have informed us, has created an understanding in our minds. I was talking to a dear friend today who came over to see me, and we were discussing certain things. He was along the side of the line of marriage and all of that. And I was sharing with him, generally speaking, we got into different discussions, and I was telling him that if I were to counsel an intending couple, I'm not going to waste time asking a lot of useless and vague questions. The first thing I want to examine is their passion for God. And then the next thing, I want to examine the extent of their compatibility in terms of their understanding. What is your viewpoint about God? What is your viewpoint about money? What is your viewpoint about your assignment and purpose? What is your viewpoint about your personal life? What is your viewpoint about external influences in your life and home? This does not just apply to the line of marriage, it applies to everything. There is something culture taught us about God. There is something our well-meaning pastors and preachers told us about God. Their experiences were their sermons. They preached it with confidence. We embraced it with sincerity. And we are victims of their limitations. Are we together? There's something that our past experiences have done. I always give an example. If it took someone 10 years to get admission and you teach on favor, it will take an extra anointing for that person to understand that message. Are we together? Because there is no template that represents favor in his life. Most of our families live from hand to mouth. So every time we talk about prosperity, our minds go straight to the people they insulted and the way they insulted them. We have associated prosperity with negativism, with fraud, with unseriousness, with fetish, demonic activities, especially when young people are prosperous. And you know, let me tell you something. After listening to a very powerful message, after listening to a powerful series, Financial Dominion, The Wealthy Place, The Economic System of the Kingdom, you will think that your paradigm will change at once. No, it took a long time for it to be built. It will take a repetition of new ideas are the keys to changing our paradigms. You have to bring forth those new ideas again and again. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing. The next word hearing there is understanding. Hearing and understanding what you hear by the word of God. Hallelujah. Proverbs tells us, For as he thinketh in his heart, it didn't say so he will become. It didn't say so he is becoming. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, it equates my physical reality to my life. This is the difference, hear me brothers and sisters, between a CEO who is living in an office with an AC, having secretaries and PAs, and sitting down, and you think he's just writing. And then a megad, a security person who is opening and closing gates in anger and frustration. Most times a security person is angry. How can I be working so hard and I'm receiving 10,000 per month and someone is there just writing and he's receiving 500,000? And my answer to that frustration is what? Switch them. Switch them for only 2 weeks. Take the megad. Don't change anything. Don't give him any orientation. Keep him in that office and take the CEO to the gate. Let me tell you what will happen after 2 weeks. People will stop going to the office. The CEO will do something to that gate that will make the customers remain there. Are we together? His hospitality, his open-heartedness, his calmness, his people skills, and all of these other factors that are important for success will compel the people to love him and remain there. Let's go to our man in the office. I know what he will be doing. Drinking all the juice in the fridge as fast as he can, because something about his mind tells him you are certainly not going to be here for a long time. Then he looks for what to steal. He signs documents anyhow, and then he crosses his leg watching TV, changing channels, enjoying the AC. Probably texting all the people and saying, my life has changed. The place will be dirty. I assure you, he will not empty the waste bin. He doesn't have that frame of excellence. His paradigm of excellence is not that way. He will destroy everything. He will misplace documents, scatter them, and wonder why they are arranged accurately. At the end of it, he will be frustrated. He will steal something sizable and run away. That will be the end of that man. Another popular example. You wore a shirt for 1 year. It was always clean and ironed. Nobody knew it was 1 year old. And you gave somebody, and his mindset rubbed off on the shirt. In 1 month, he turned a white shirt to brown. Have you seen people like that? Yeah. Listen. Our physical environment is but a looking glass. You never change your physical reality by arguing and trying to change things. It's not even by trying to dress well. No. It's a culture. You've got to change your mind. So the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5, permit this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I was not born this way. I re-engineered myself using the word of God and following those who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. Are we together? You must be disloyal to any understanding and paradigm that has given demon spirits access points to destroy your life. Hallelujah. Paradigms. There are people who will use a water system toilet, a very clean toilet, and finish. I mean in a house, not even the one in the hostels. A clean toilet. They enter the bathroom, they saw everything clean. They use it and leave it there and just go out smiling. And they tell you, I've finished. They took their mindsets there. Their mindsets took them there. Are we together? There is something about excellence, as obvious as it should be, you must be trained to discern it. Don't ever assume that because your mindset has changed, it is so. That's the reason why the higher you rise, the more you must have a greater capacity for patience. Because when your mindset changes, you wonder, sometimes I look at people and I am amazed the way they think. Certain things that should be so obvious, you are wondering how their mindset can veer off and give them such suggestions. The power of paradigms. Are we together? A man can come to you. Someone can come to a Jimmy, for instance, and sit down and look at him and look at his house and see how God has blessed him. And then just look at him and say, sir, don't be offended. Anything for the boys? And you are wondering. You have access to a great man. What is there to say, sir? If you were to be at my age, what will you advise me to do? Or if you would be at my level in life, what two things do you think I should focus on now? We never ask questions. Have you seen people who have access to great men? One guy came to my hotel room in Abuja, and he came just because of his friend. He wouldn't even come. He came there because of someone like a mentor to him who is my friend. They came to greet me. When they said hello, we're discussing, I served them myself. I'm telling you, before anybody picked the thing, the guy carried something and opened it and was taking it. Whereas the person, his mentor, now kept quiet and was listening. You see why that guy is his mentor? Are we together? There is a logic to people's frustration. You can trace it and see why they are where they are. Paradigms. Mindsets. Why should I dress well? Am I rich? Paradigm. Are we together? There are people praying endlessly to have pot belly. Just like that. Why? Because based on certain cultural experiences. Now listen, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm teaching here. There are cultures, am I right, that train people. The moment they see you with some level of weight, they say, ah, this is, things are working. But you know that absolutely nothing is working. Paradigms. That's what informs people to live fake lives. There are people who, if God blesses with 50,000 now, their mindset tells them, look, you need to do something around you to make people believe you belong. So they run away and blow up everything, and they come to people, and you see, sometimes, let me tell you something. When I meet people who are greater than me, I have no pressure to prove any point because I know I'm stupid when I'm doing it. But then you see a lot of people with their little understanding, small results here and there, they come and they never learn. They are trying to impress you. Hey, Jimmy, I'm a business person. I just read Robert Kiyosaki's book and you are watching his ignorance. That act alone is a revelation of where you are. Because great people are silent. Let her works speak for her at the gates. And so when we're done, let me finish up my story. They were about to go. I was greeting them, you know. And then the gentleman just came to me and said, sir, please, just one favor. I said, what is it? He said, let me snap with you. And I looked at him. I said, this boy is not wise, honestly speaking. That's why we must crave for wisdom. I said, this guy is not smart one bit. I said, alright, that's okay. He snapped with me. About 3 hours later, my friend called me and said the guy posted a picture on Facebook that me and my very good friend Apostle Joshua Selman. Now hold on, I'm not insulting him. He may even be listening now. Listen. Listen. Do you know that gentleman thinks it's by snapping with me so that every other person around, look, let me tell you, if a billionaire wears slippers and kaftan and you wear suit and stand close to him, something about you will tell you are not yet ready for this place. If Benny Hinn stands today and I side by side with him and they say colleagues in ministry, even me, I know, God knows, the devil knows that we are not colleagues. They will snap me standing where you watch the picture, I will be kneeling down. Because the reality of my heart will reflect itself. Amen. Say paradigms. Say mindsets. Say programmings. Something that your parents held was responsible for their limitations. Culture. Experiences. Are we together? I don't want to be ahead of myself, because the third thing I'll be talking about is where we'll dwell today in details. And I trust that God will change our mindsets. Now, let me tell you something. There is nothing God can do about your life, as powerful as He is, if you are not willing to change your mindset. Lord, I want you to bless me. And God says, okay, can you allow me walk on you? There's nothing wrong with me. God says, all right. There is a mindset that is responsible for poverty. There is a mindset that has kept many men of God limited in life and ministry. There are certain mindsets that have kept corporate organizations small. Sometimes I wish that I knew the things I've learned in the last 2-3 years. Maybe that I knew them 10-20 years ago. I would have been 100 times, without exaggerating, higher than I am now. I pray that you will receive these things and you will believe them. In 1 minute, lay your hand on your head and say, Lord, there is something in my mind that is responsible for my limitations. Please take it out of me. Go ahead and pray. Take it out. Take it out of me. There's something. I grew up in Nigeria, and there is a way. Nigerians are lovely people. They are great people. But there is a faulty paradigm. Take it away from my life. Take it away from my life. I declare my disloyalty to every paradigm, no matter how long I have held it. A paradigm that has stopped me from accessing the anointing. A paradigm that has stopped me from being a leader. A paradigm that has stopped me from being a visionary person. A paradigm that has stopped me from being wealthy. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Alright, so let's take today's own. The third key. Key number 3. To rising above recession. Key number 3. To rising above any kind of limitation. Is the discovery and the development of your value and your abilities. I'm going to dwell here. There is a lot to talk about here. The discovery and the development of your abilities, your value. I've done a lot of teachings. And I have taught again and again how that a man's relevance, please listen to me, a man's relevance is not based on chance, is not based on some kind of sentiments. The disparity, the stratification between the wealthy, between the great, the anointed, the influential, among many other reasons, primarily, is their value. Write this down, please. Your value is a representation of your worth. Your value is a representation of your worth. WORD. Your value is a representation of your worth based on the solutions you provide, the problems you solve, and the lives you transform. Your value is a representation of your worth based on the solutions you provide, the problems you solve, and the lives you transform. This is the index for measuring a man's value. So when we say a person is valuable, a preacher is valuable, a businessman is valuable, a leader is valuable, please listen to me. We're not necessarily just talking about anything vague or anything fetish. A measure of the perception that people have over you on the strength of the solutions that you provide, on the strength of the problems that you solve, and on the strength of the lives and destinies that you transform. Put it in another way, if you are not providing any kind of solution, if you are not solving any kind of problem, and if you are not contributing to the transformation of the lives and destinies of people, you are not valuable. And hear me please. Relevance and wealth in the kingdom is built on a reward system. We've said it again and again. Let me just do a recap on it. I'll touch a bit into that. Right? You can get the message, the wealthy place. Write this down. This is the fundamental law that governs wealth and abundance and governs greatness in the kingdom. Our rewards in life, and that reward can be financial, the sense of security, the sense of honor that we receive, whatever it is. Our rewards in life will always be in exact proportion to number one, the demand or the need for what we do. Number one, the demand or the need for what we do. Number two, our ability to do what we do. Number three, the difficulty in replacing us. My relevance in life, my relevance as a man of God is not just tied to God. The demand for what I do, my ability to do what I do, and the difficulty in replacing me. Let me tell you, when you understand this, you can accurately gauge why you are where you are right now. This is why pastors are wealthy. Listen, pastors think they are wealthy. I was teaching the school of ministry students, and I said many men of God think they are rich because they are serving God. That's not the reason why people are wealthy. It's based on a law. If I am blessed today, among other reasons, is based on the perception that you and other people around this nation and in certain parts of the world have about me, which is on the strength of what I do, my proficiency in doing it. Are we together? A man of God is not rich because he prayed for the sick. A man of God is rich because he's providing solutions. His solution may be supernatural in origin. The solution may be spiritual. When you connect people to Jesus Christ, you are providing an eternal solution to the predicament of men. And the system of God's economy was designed that every time you dispense value, whether given for free or sold, a reward must come to you. A reward must come to you. The laws are inflexible. You cannot change them. So for as long as there is an anointing upon me to bring people to the place of encounter, for as long as there is an anointing upon me to birth transformation of their minds and destinies, for as long as there is an anointing to birth revival, to bring miracles, signs and wonders, I remain valuable as far as God is concerned and the benefactors. Let me tell you why that is powerful. Much more than business. It is an intrinsic value. Value that is not dependent on any external environment. And value that is rewarded only based on the perception of the benefactors. So one person can bless me with 100 naira as a representation of his comprehension of my value. Another person can bless me with 10 million as his comprehension of the perception of my value. Don't say I am poor. Don't say I am mediocre. What value are you bringing to the table of destiny? Call this stage the table of greatness. There are enough seats for everyone, but your pass is your value. Your pass is your value. Not just any value. Values that are needed and useful. Values that are needed and useful. Applicable to the predicament of your generation. God is helping someone. Are we together? What have you brought to the table of greatness that listen. Do you know why they call people thieves and fraud? Because you see rewards, but you do not see the value that is commensurate to that reward. That's why we hate armed robbers. An armed robber brings a gun and says, give me your 1 million. And you tell him, what is the value? He says, I have no value, but I have a gun to threaten you. So it is bad. But that same 1 million, you will give it to someone who offers a value that is worth it. Listen, you don't sit down and wish to rise. You grow in value to the level that matches what you desire. So, Frank Edward ministers, and based on the perception of his value, someone can bless him with 10 million. Whereas there is another musician somewhere in Samaru who may be moving around and nobody will bless him. What is the difference? Their value. Your value is a representation of your worth based on your ability. There are two dimensions to value. I want to talk a bit about value. Number one is intrinsic value. Write it down. Intrinsic or inherent value. Value that came with you. It was a gift from God to you. Part of your packaging and part of your wiring. It can be improved upon. Hallelujah. Are we blessed this night? I really want to challenge you. Look at me, please. Please do not trivialize what I'm teaching you. God is not a herbalist. This is the key that lifts men above recession. I was talking to one of our ladies. She works in the bank. And I was talking to her this morning. And I told her, I said, how is it going in the bank? And she said, Kai, things are really bad for many people, though. But she said, there are some. I said, that's right. In my mind, I said, that's me. You are now talking about me. He said, there are some, their lives have increased and multiplied. Do you know the concept of recession is not supposed to apply to an individual? Recession only makes sense when you look at it from a corporate and a territorial perspective. There was famine in Samaria minus the king. Minus the king. Number two, minus Elijah. All the people, Elijah never said, please. Even Elijah begged for bread. Elijah did not beg for bread in Samaria. He came gallantly and saw people eating their children. The other one said, we ate my child yesterday. We said, let's boil this other child, and the woman refused. Are we together? Prophet, we boiled my child yesterday. When I was eating my child, we ate together. Now is the turn to eat her own child, and they refused. And the prophet said no. Let me tell you something. Your value vetoes your education. Your value vetoes your cultural background. Your value vetoes any limitation. I don't care what it is. Will you open up the gates? Open up the doors. Will you open up the gates? Open up the doors. Listen, believe me, brothers and sisters, when I tell you your value vetoes a lot of things. Sunday Adelaja, 96% of his membership in a communist nation, right? Ukraine. A communist nation, 96% of its members are white. In a communist nation. Finally, the key to eradicating a sense of unworthiness is not criticizing great people. This is what a lot of pastors go through. This is what a lot of business people go through. This is what a lot of individuals go through. They think the key is resentment and anger and hatred. No, the key is to pay the price of discovery and developing your value. A student comes in, backtrack 5 years, 6 years, a naive young person, probably in his teenage, comes into an institution. I want to study medicine. Not even having an idea of what he wants to do. Are we together? Or the implication. And he goes through 5, 6, probably 7 years of rigorous training. They never change his skin. They never change his clothes. They only change his mind. And after 6, 7 years, a panel of people will test him and accredit the fact that he is worthy of being called a doctor, and they issue a little piece of paper that becomes his authorization. Value. I am surprised when many people say, why am I poor? What kind of question is that? Why am I poor? Why am I suffering the recession? And I mean no disrespect as I communicate this. Everyone is left to his lot. If Bill Gates, for instance, let me use finances. If Bill Gates comes here right now and says, everybody, go and hold someone whose life you changed. If you can hold 5 people, you receive $1 million. Some of us will roam to everybody. You touch somebody, you say, I will slap you. You've not added any value to my life. Why do you want to hold me? I have never been blessed, not by your wisdom, not by your spiritual life, not by your anointing, not by your academics. Nothing about you has changed me. But there are others, there will not be enough room. Everybody says, he changed me. You changed me. You blessed me. You advised me. My business is flourishing because of the idea you gave me. That sickness in my body left because of the anointing upon your life. The power of your secret place changed my life. You preached a message and brought a dimension that changed me. Problem solved. Solutions provided. Lives transformed. And there is a reward waiting for you. I guarantee you. No witch and no wizard from any village and anywhere has the power and the capacity to stand an individual that has walked upon his value. What is my value? What is my gift? What is that ability that can bail me out? Let me tell you something. And I'm a Nigerian. I want to say something that is very serious right now. I'm a Nigerian. I love Nigeria. I love everyone in this country. We are brothers and sisters. Are we together? But listen. Do you know why? I want to be sincere with you. Do you know why a lot of people are suffering this recession now? I know many people think it's Buhari, others think it's Jonathan, others people think it's PDP, APC, I'm not a politician. Are you together? Let me tell you, something about the nose diving of the oil revealed that we have never truly been valuable as a people. We only receive natural resources and we have been covering it for years. The same way to happen to your destiny. I'm in a department. They give everybody food free of charge. So I think, let me tell you, you do not generalize impact and success. You must be sure what part you are contributing. Otherwise, you will be ashamed with time. We are worship team. We are all great. But in all sincerity, what is your unique contribution? One day you hold the mic alone. And on that day, we know that you are the one limiting the worship team. On that day we know, so that mistake in the keyboard comes from you. We have been managing it, but right now, we are a group of intelligent lecturers. We are all intelligent people. The day you have to do a presentation as a person, life must single you out one day to defend yourself. I believe belong to an anointed ministry, great and wonderful. We are shaking the world. I agree with you. A day will come, you will stand before the sick. Apostle, I'm not there. Ejimi, I'm not there. My head of department, prayer, ushering, decoration, they are all not there. On that day, that's when you will know whether the impartations you've been receiving or otherwise. Life will challenge you. Life will test it. And until you are able to prove it, the disciples kept enjoying corporate success. Until one day, when Jesus climbed up the Mount of Transfiguration, they were happy. They brought an epileptic person. They said, don't worry about Jesus. We are here. Just keep him down. They struggled. They were embarrassed. Nothing happened. Let me tell you. Do you know what causes jealousy? The ease and the flawlessness that someone who has paid the price to be valuable does on something you have been frustrated about. You've been praying on a sick body and you gave all kinds of reasons. No, this person cannot be sick. Then the person comes for a meeting and even without being prayed for, before the opening prayer, he's healed. And then the person testifies exactly as it happened. You know how people testify? They will say it the way it happened. May God make you to develop an appetite to be valuable. An appetite to be valuable. Let me tell you how you know you are really valuable. When no monetary value placed on you becomes a burden to the giver, you are exceptionally valuable. Listen. Listen. I can't remember how much this is, how much they bought it. But let's assume this is 300,000. Just an assumption. Right? Assume that this pulpit is 300,000. When they call the price, what do? You look at it. The material, the quality, and you say it's okay. If they look at this and say bring 10 million, you look at it and say no. That's the same way they rate you. So you say 20,000, they say you are telling the truth. Then you say 100,000, they say for where? Is money free like that? But there are others, they don't even say anything. Their value says any amount, priceless, 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 priceless. And so someone brings 10 million and says, sir, please don't be offended. It's a privilege for me to do this. May you be such a person. May you be such a person. Hallelujah. Benny Hinn is coming to Nigeria. And the plans that have, in fact, to a point that the very ministry that is bringing him does not even have absolute control over his coming again. The Christian bodies have had to come in because they sat and said, no. We are going to come in. Now, he's not only ministering in Lagos, he's also going to worry to go and minister in a crusade again. Say value. Yeah. When Benny Hinn enters a nation, no matter who is inviting him, he's received by the ambassador of the America and a presidential delegation. So his coming is not something you wake up and come by mistake. Even if he's trolling, his personality, we call it human capital. My desire is that under God, myself and this great ministry will be so valuable. This place has become like a place of pilgrimage right now. The protocol has had to start making arrangements with hotels around. Why? Because every week, groups are coming, individuals are coming from all over the nation. It's called value. If we remain at this level, we will never rise. But if we keep rising by the Spirit of God and through determination, a time will come, somebody will come from another state, another nation, and say it's a privilege, finally. Are you that valuable? Are you that valuable that your absence is an interruption to somebody's life? Are you so valuable? I'm speaking to you from the depth of my heart. Then you will know why certain... The money we are saying has left Nigeria did not disappear. Money is like energy. It can neither be created nor destroyed. It is transferred. So it leaves from the point of no value, passes through the place of small value, and lands in the place of capital value. Say amen. Wanting something for nothing is fraud. Wanting something for nothing is wickedness. Now let me tell you how many of us approach it. Oh God, will you keep looking at me like this? And God says, I've been looking. I set laws and I put preachers. He said, let them come back to life. Remember the prayer of who? The rich man. Let them come back to life. He said, no. They have the prophets and the law. If they will not listen to them, even if somebody comes back to the dead, they will not listen. Just like there are people God has anointed, but many people will not listen. Why should you fail in life? Your background? Who told you it's because of your background? There are people today with no arms, but they are valuable. There are people with no legs, they are valuable. There are people with no eyes, they are valuable. There are people who cannot speak, they are valuable. We don't love Jesus just because he's the Son of God. He's really valuable. He's an expression of infinite value by every standard. Are we together? Any man can determine his lot in life. Any man can determine his lot in life. Your reward is in exact proportion. But Apostle, I'm a graduate and now I'm working. I'm getting 50,000. But now I'm married to a wife and 3 children. That's the limit of your value. Because your education was never designed to fund your assignment. It was designed to help you. You are only working at the limit of what you know. And if you do not know more, you will remain that way. Hallelujah. Yesterday, one of the protocol, he usually helps me. If they need to fix anything in my car, he helps me to fix it. And I was going to drop him. And I decided to just take a stroll with him. I like talking to people. I decided to take a stroll with him and then to turn and come back. And I was talking to him. I said, do you know why you are in this car now? And he looked at me. I said, there are so many people in Zaria. You can drive and you have loyalty and integrity. It's called value. It earned you the right here. When we stop, let me confess, we went to buy suya. Praise God. And so, while they were ordering the suya, I made an order of the suya and he was sitting. I said, do you know why you are sitting close to me now? He said, no sir. I said, value. You are the one who went to fix the car. It gave you the privilege to do it. I told him, do you know why we are not in the filling station now? He said, no. He said, because the tank is full. The day it finishes or gets more, we will need the filling station. Are we together? Why have I not come to you? Why have I not called you? You don't call me. Why should I? Why should I? You are proving as if I'm nothing. You made yourself so. There is a way you make yourself. There are people who cannot even pick calls. There are others who are angry. Aaron, I don't like what you are doing. Haba, is it because God has lifted you now? You left us. That's always what they say. I intend to rise. Whoever intends to rise with me, then we move together. I cannot love you so much to be so loyal and keep myself low. I'm telling you why many of us are offended with so many people. Offended, my friend. We used to eat together, but you were not doing the same thing. Now the person has risen. You call the person and a secretary picks. Hello, sir, so and so organization. Please, let me talk to him, Jare. Tell him my name is Ajayi. You don't know me again. And you are shouting and raking and getting angry. May God make you so valuable. Listen to me. May God make you so valuable that your value transcends territories. Because there are values that are only... There are people... That's what we call local champion. One who is valuable within a territory. And so when you step out to another territory, you are as inert as somebody whose potential is not at work. But there are certain people, even celebrity musicians, even if they step out by mistake, everybody is snapping them, they have to run. Now they may be going to hell. Are we together? But as far as value is concerned, generally speaking, they are communicating value. It's just the content of their music that is demonic. Their vocal training is excellent to a fault. Now you come on stage and you say, I want to rise. What are you called into? I'm called into the music ministry. Really? Yes. What have you done so far? I've been, you know, a gentleman came and met me one time and he came and he said that he's looking for sponsors. I said, what for? That he wants to produce an album. I said, who is mentoring you? He said, nobody. I said, can you play any instrument? He said, no. I said, who has ever approved, genuinely approved of your music? He said, no. I said, I'm not going to help you. I'm really helping you by not helping you, because I'm helping you realize the mistake fast. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have won it all for me. Listen, can't you see that this is God's bailout system? I came from a background where we were living in a hut with mud. The mud is not in your mind. The mud is not in your mind. Jesus was born in Nazareth. They said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He broke that limit. Stop giving excuses. Make up your mind from today. There is something my world can celebrate. Years ago, when I was staying in a little room, praying and reading books, all my money went to buying books. Buy the truth and sell it not. God, you have given me grace for music and worship. Who can invite me because of the grace I carry? Don't flatter yourself in mediocrity. Challenge yourself based on a reference that is global. Don't flatter yourself. You make mistakes, you sing off key, and someone says, Kai. You know, Elijah, this is fantastic. You say, really? No, you didn't do well. You didn't do well. We were glorified because of the anointing, but vocally speaking, you didn't do well. This lack of preparedness is what makes people to mock themselves. Any competition they hear around, they will come. Have you seen people like that? And they say, why are you here? They say, I'm here to win. And you watch your competitors, just by looking at them, you see the flawlessness of their preparation. And just the preliminary screening, you are back home. And then you say, no, in Nigeria, this is because this person is Yoruba, that's why they didn't take me. No, sir, you are not good. Be honest with yourself. I'm not saying you cannot be good. Listen, value is only valuable when competence is added to it. Value only becomes valuable when competence is added to it. Yesterday I was studying on diamonds. I just decided to study on diamonds. I didn't know that there were different kinds of diamonds. Different kinds. And I was seeing the diamonds and the rigor in finding them. And I mean their structure, the precision of their structure. It's what makes them valuable. Are you competent? Are you competent? Seest thou a man diligent in his ministry, diligent in his business? It's only a matter of time. You may be soaking garri now, but diligence is like a plane. It will lift you beyond the limitations. It can be raining and you just take a flight and within 1 minute, you are already out of that rain. You are not even aware that it's raining again. Until you land. Koinonia, I'm challenging you. I will be a wicked preacher. I will be a wicked man of God to not challenge you in the area of value, because that's what I'm doing with my life. And by the grace of God and in all sincerity, that's what has brought me where I am. And I told you, where I am now is my preparation of yesterday. Tomorrow will reveal to you what I'm doing today. Value always precedes manifestation. So when you see a man manifest, that's not his true state. It is his passive state based on your seeing him now. In business, in ministry, There are many pastors who don't know how this thing works. And they may never find out. There are many people who don't know how this thing works. I'm sorry to say, but look at Zaria as a case study. Almost every business in Zaria, almost, not all, but almost every business in Zaria is tainted by mediocrity, smallness, average. There's nothing world class. There's no touch of excellence in it. We are limited because of our culture. I have my small shop. This is nice. We never learn. Someone has paid the price and made the mistake for you. Then you make it again. No, you must learn from other people's mistakes. Are we together? I have hardly seen things in this city, and I say it with all humility, that have impressed me to know that this is at a level of a global repute. From our hotels, are we together? To our restaurant services. In fact, from the most part, they are terrible. Yet there are many of us seated here. If I ask you now, what did you say? I've been cooking. You are the only one who has not eaten. The fact that I've not eaten your food means nobody has recommended it. And that means they've been flattering you by saying it's sweet. If food is delicious, we are not stupid people. Jimmy's wife makes cakes. Everybody knows. She's not necessarily done any great marketing. Let her works speak for her at the gates. What is so exceptional about what you do? What do you do that will make me feel like I am losing a lot if I don't partner with you? Everybody say competence. Say it, competence. Say it again, competence. Listen, if you pay attention to what I'm saying, you will reap an endless benefit. Competence. Favor then is when preparedness. The day God wants to bless you, He will station your destiny helpers close to you. Men and women who have the perception and the strength to reward your value. And then He says, now you have prepared yourself. There are too many, you know the problem with many of us? Look at me. This pressure for recognition. I want to know that I'm a CEO. I said it, I think it was to the School of Ministry students. People write books after 10, 20 years of a track record. But in Nigeria, people write books to start up what they are doing. So someone who has nothing writes 81 keys to the billionaire lifestyle. A book is an authorization for men to listen to you based on a result that is obvious in your life. You are documenting your persuasion to create a track for people to follow. Years ago, they are not really my friends, but they are ministers too. They met me and said, Apostle, at your level, there are some bishops who are not like you. You should be on TV and radio. I said, I hear. So that I will get to a point where I'm limited and I have to beg for partners. Isaiah 77. Give me Isaiah 61. Give me 61 naira or 610 naira. I don't want to do all those things. I don't want to stand on airplane gimmicks. I want a situation where the day Koinonia comes on air, someone will say, this is what I've been looking for. I have a business that is producing $10 million every month. I've been looking for a ministry to sponsor. This is it. Solutions provided. Problems solved. Lives transformed. And you enter your Sabbath at once. Please hear me, Koinonia, and all those following. Not everybody is a victim of this recession. I tell you the sincere truth from the depth of my heart. I say it with all humility and not in any boastful way. I say it with all humility and not in any boastful way. The finance of this ministry has skyrocketed in a way and a dimension that is irrecoverable this year, more than any year put together. Now, please, I'm sorry if it looks like I'm boasting. I'm only challenging you.
in a time we call recession. Say something I do not know. Say it again. Something I do not know may be responsible for my limitation. One of my pastor friends started bus transport, bus services, and he called me. He said, Apostle, I can't believe this. You've been transporting people on bus services and we're not so much in our church. Just at one junction where everybody will wait. After 1 month, we looked at when they sent the report. I said, nobody, it trekked from wherever you are coming. And we've done this without fail. Not for Friday's program. Anytime this ministry is holding any program, once it is night, we're a responsible ministry. At any time, whether it was planned or not. Brothers and sisters, there is something that is being done. This is where I'm taking you to. It was not like that. Our first crusade, they were almost locking me because of 150,000 Aaron. Whereas the money that is circulating now was still there. I have learned through pain. I have learned through mistakes. I've learned through mentorship, and you are receiving it for free. I pray that you will treasure it, and I pray that it will lift you higher than ever. Some of you are about to get married. You know you are not ready. Are we together? You already know, not by revelation, by wisdom, that your wife is going to suffer. You know that your children are going to suffer. How do I know that? There is no plan. Dotham became mighty because he prepared his way before the Lord. You are not preparing your way. There can't be greatness. Don't be too quick to show forth. Prepare. Everybody say prepare. Prophesy to yourself. Say myself. Prepare. Myself. Be competent. Myself. Work on yourself. Hallelujah. Prepare. Don't make noise. Don't take this colleague mentality moving around. I used to know you, Pastor Femi. We are fellow pastors. Colleague mentality is the key to the undoing of many people. Oh, we were classmates. The same class. The same university. The same this. We are both doctors. We are both professors. No, no, no. The Bible says one star differed from another in glory. Say in the name of Jesus, there is an ability. Say, there is a gift within me that is greater than Zaria, greater than Nigeria. There is an intrinsic value within me that can bless me, that can bless the kingdom, and I will search it out. Hallelujah. There is an intrinsic value. Now, intrinsic value has to do with value that is inherent. The only thing you do is to develop it. Is there. I'll give you an example. Intellectual property is an intrinsic value. You don't refrigerate it. You don't warm it. You don't keep it in a safe, in a bank. It's there, it's there. You've trained your mind. Intelligence, intellectual property is there. He's playing this keyboard now. This is intrinsic value. It's value within him. Value that does not depend on the external environment for its performance. Are we together now?
Yeah.
A photocopying machine is not an intrinsic value. The machine needs a demand. The machine needs a lot of things. The machine needs light. Are we together? The greatest way to rise is to work first on your intrinsic value. You have the grace to sing, work on it. You are an entrepreneur, work on it. Don't say I'm a CEO. CEO that is not producing results is a sign to sit down. Say I'm a potential CEO. There are people moving all around with complimentary cards and flattering themselves. I am this and that and that. I'm into real estate, agro, allied products, and so on and so forth. We have branches in Ghana, Benin Republic, Port Harcourt, Lagos, and so on and so forth. And you look at the person who is talking. You ask him, sir, What do you know about real estate? Say, look, that's not the most important thing. Me, I'm telling you, my father did it. He gave you, and he has one plot of land somewhere. You see, we mock ourselves. Packaging is only meaningful when there is content. Packaging is only meaningful when there is content. Packaging without content is like a balloon. You hold a balloon and claim that the balloon is a metal. You will just touch it and it will burst. I sing better than many people who are called into the music ministry. Yet, they want me to buy their album. No. I told you last week, there are many people who claim they can cook. They have restaurants. Are we together? And you start bullying people and say, shouldn't you come and eat in my restaurant? I saw you the other day. Ella, you should come to my restaurant to eat. Are we not fellow Koinonia people? She wants to be healthy. She wants to be healthy. And as far as it is concerned, you have not worked on yourself. One of our school of ministry ladies, she made one beautiful work, just a beautiful artwork. The students saw it. I mean, she's here. Very fantastic artwork. And when I saw it, I said, my goodness, this is excellent. I told her, improve yourself and monetize your value. Monetizing your value is the last thing you do when it is flawlessly competent. Then you place a price on it. Are we together? Now, I want everybody to write. Write three things you know God has put in you that must be developed and deployed. Please write it down. Young, old, write it down. Type it, write, do whatever it is. Please write it down. Don't flatter yourself. Don't write what you don't have. Just patiently think and you'll find your own. Don't just write because your neighbor wrote something. Value. Value. Aaron is here. He handles most of the logistics of the, you know, people around, different kinds of logistics. Why? Because he's worked on himself and he's still working on himself. The other day I went to his house and I saw a blackboard close to his, just a little like dining or thereabout, and his little office that he has, and I saw him writing goals. I saw targets. I saw plans of action. I said, this is excellent. This person is going to go far. Please, do not think discovery simply means it is worthy of reward. That you have discovered a thing does not mean they will reward you. It must be developed to the highest level of excellence and then communicated with integrity, communicated with discipline, and communicated with the anointing. Hallelujah. I met a pastor and the pastor told me something. He said, man of God, he's quite an elderly man. He said, if you continue going the way you are going, you are going to have such an exceptional ministry. I said, thank you, sir. I intend to. And that's why I seek people like you to add to my life. I am not ashamed of my ignorance. I'm not ashamed of my limitations and the thing that I do not know. There are many things I do not know. I know some, but there are many others. If I knew them, I would not be where I am. And I humble myself to seek for knowledge. I see the way people trivialize knowledge and trivialize the sacrifices of others. Are we together? You call somebody you perceive to be valuable, and then you tell the person, when can I come and meet you? Or when can you come and meet me? And the person says, why? They say, I have a business proposal. I want us to rub minds together. Sit down with your broke, bad attitude and you will never rise. Never, never rise. There's so many people who do that. Why am I challenging you? I want you to rise beyond the recession. You've heard the testimonies of people. This money has not flown anywhere. This greatness has not flown anywhere. The concept of recession to an individual is a mirage. Hear me. Please hear me. I understand business. I'm not daft. I'm not stupid. I know what I'm saying. The concept of recession is not supposed to be explained from an individual platform. It is when you look at the economy, territorially, societally, then you can say based on the GDP of a nation, based on certain indices, a nation, when it does not meet certain things, then there is a recession, there is inflation, or whatever it is. But not an individual. There has been no time in the Bible where famine affected everybody. There has always been exemption. Those who offer value are the ones who are exempted. Please hear me. What gives you the justification that between today, Friday, and next Friday, something would have entered your hand? Or I'm not necessarily just saying money. Somebody would have acknowledged the fact that God is using you to bless him. My life has been transformed. What value do you have? You see, the anointing does two things. It activates something within you that was not there and amplifies something within you that is there. It activates something within you that was previously not there. Or introduces, a better word, introduces something within you that was not there, like the healing grace, right? Like revelation, the capacity, utterance. But then it also amplifies something within you that is there, like creativity, like leadership, like your gift. So number one, your encounter with God that produces a fear of God in you. Number two, a transformed mind, transformed beyond your cultural limitations. Number three, the discovery and the development of your abilities, your value. Please do not forget this. Greatness, wealth, any kind of achievement in the kingdom is based on a reward system. It's not just the issue of the will of God. The issue of the will of God, as far as our greatness is concerned, is not a mystery. It is clear in the word. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, Jeremiah 29 and the 11th chapter. Thoughts of good and or peace and not of evil, to bring you a future and an expected end. Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to do and observe all that I command thee this day, right? That you shall be exalted above all the nations of the earth, and this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you. There is always a part you have to play. There is a part that I have to play. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law, it says, shall not depart from out of thy mouth. It says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Then it says, then, only then, shall thou make thy way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Success that does not steal away the time of your family. Success that does not steal away your life. Are we together? Give me 5-10 minutes. Let me talk a little. Let me take point three a little more. Write this down, please. I know that I've taught a lot about finances, but let me just talk for 5-10 minutes on a few things about our financial life. Number one, let me tell you something. A job alone will limit you. I want to expand your horizon and work on your creativity a bit. A job alone will limit you. Brothers and sisters, no matter how much of a job you get, no matter how great of a job you get, a job does not have the capacity to fund your assignment. Your needs are plenty. Family needs. The average African family has siblings that are looking up to you for assistance. It's capital intensive to live in Nigeria, to send children to school. Almost all of us here, by the time you are a Christian and you are born again, you have commitments to your church, to your group, to your ministry. And part of it is financial commitment. Part of it, there are several things you have to do that take money from you. You are broke. Let me give us a little financial intelligence. We'll always add this. You are broke anytime your inflow is far, far less than your outflow. You will always, without fail, be on deficit. 1 naira comes into your life, you need 4 naira to go out of your life. You will be in trouble. You will have to be in trouble. You cannot be earning 50,000 naira, probably 100,000, and believe that in itself, you remove tithes, you remove a lot of things. It is just not enough. That's the challenge with our parents. 100,000 was enough when they had one child. Now they have 5 children, but their finances have not increased. So it's pinning them and straining them to death. Are we together? What then is the solution? Activate other streams of income. 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 Don't sit down running around and say there's no job. And I don't mean don't do small, mediocre things that waste your time, your energy, your money, and then at the end nothing comes out from it. Activate streams of income. Work on your mindset. Monetize your intrinsic value that is being developed. You will rise above recession, I tell you. Are we together? Did you know, for instance, every week we rent chairs in the dozens. During the miracle service, we rent thousands of chairs in the dozens. That's someone's business. Are we together? That's someone's business. Every week, there are things only in this ministry alone that can make an individual a millionaire if he knows how to create a system around that value and supply it. Just koinonia alone. Please activate streams of income. Take responsibility for your life and don't give people anything substandard. You are insincere and you are ungodly when you whet the appetite of people over a value you know you cannot offer. Don't be that insincere. Make sure that you have worked on yourself and you are competent enough. Then you can open up your hands for value. Don't collect a contract to help somebody roof his house and then you roof nonsense. No, don't do that. If you know you cannot work on it, package yourself. Work on yourself. I work on myself every day. I returned back from my trip yesterday as tired as I was. I made sure that my daily goals were met. Please, don't you think that it is just the anointing? The anointing is there. I'm going to talk about it. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, but this grace was not showered upon me in that I labored more than ye all. I prepare an average of 2 to 3 sermons every week. It takes time. It takes research. It takes staying in the spirit. There are other aspects of my life I am involved in. What are you doing? There is no laziness. Don't sit down and say, oh God, when will you change my situation? Don't sit down and say, who will come and marry me out of this problem? Nobody. At least nobody in Koinonia. And brothers, don't wait and say, which lady? Bible says, he that finds a wife, finds a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord. Are we together? This is the undoing of Africa. This is the undoing of many people. My neighbors, they bought, a few months ago, they bought a grinding engine. And the moment they bought that grinding engine and stationed there, at once, they became relevant in that environment. Almost all the houses within that environment no longer enter a car and go to Samaru to go and grind beans or whatever. They come to them. What is their reward? The transportation of everybody who should go there. Now comes to them. A place that was previously very quiet and conservative. Now you see the people. Early in the morning, the engine is up. And they are grinding. Sometimes till late in the night. And they are making money from it. Please, I want you to go back and sit down. And be sincere with yourself, young and old. Sit down and say, I now see why things are not working in my life. I now see why I'm feeling the heat of the recession. I am not saying you should be a money monger. Remember, we've done financial dominion. So you cannot sit down and say, now, which business do I do? That's a wrong question. How do I develop myself to rise to a point of value? When you are valuable, then now you build a system around that value. That's what we call business. Business is simply the art of packaging your value that has been developed to serve a targeted people. Then you receive financial rewards among other things. There's nothing mysterious about business. Building a business is simply having a value, converting it to a product or a service that is needed and useful, and then creating a system that informs your potential customers of what you have to give. Very simple. But it's not as simple as it sounds. The last point. Rise to a point of value. Rise to a point of value. The last point. What is the fourth key to becoming transgenerationally relevant? The fourth key to rising beyond recession. We name the series Thrive. To thrive does not mean to manage. To thrive means to blossom. Thrive gives a picture of a plant growing out. You see how a plant grows out of the soil. And you see it moving regardless of the strength of the soil. It shoots through it and it blossoms. That's what it means to thrive. You don't thrive if there are no obstacles. You thrive in spite of obstacles. The fourth key is an encounter with the anointing. Anointing.
Anointing. Fall on me. Anointing. Fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall.
Sing it one more time, everybody.
Anointing fall on me. Anointing.
Power of the Holy Ghost.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me.
I love what I'm about to share with you. I'm telling you, because it's something that has changed my life. You see the amazing dimension of God when you understand the anointing.
You are amazing, Derek. You are amazing. You are amazing. You are amazing. Oh, 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 oh. You are amazing. You are amazing.
The anointing. The anointing. Write this down. Let me give you a few definitions about the anointing. Habratisele karasunda brahatari adabalada.
You are amazing, dear. You are amazing. You are amazing. You are amazing.
Write this down. The anointing is God's seal of authorization to represent Him in your territory. The anointing is God's seal of authorization. It's His authorization upon an individual to represent Him. The authorization for legislature. The authorization to represent God and to represent heaven on earth. The anointing. Number two. The anointing is the capacity to produce change and compel compliance. The capacity to produce change and compel compliance. Psalm 66 verse 3. How terrible art thou in thy ways. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to you. To compel compliance. Number 3. Now I love this divination. The anointing is an empowerment to manifest the possibilities in God. An empowerment to manifest, to reveal, to make known the possibilities that are resident in God. There are possibilities in God. It's a slogan that we use here. Experience possibilities. I think the media should do a montage on this. Experience possibilities. It's a slogan we have come to not just recite, but believe. We've indoctrinated ourselves with the fact that there are limitless possibilities in God. And those limitless possibilities can find expression to the degree to which the unction, the grace of God is at work upon the life of an individual. The Bible is a compendium, an unfolding of the possibilities that are resident in God. Revealed from generation to generation. Hallelujah. I got a testimony recently, and I'm sure they may be following online, and they sent it to me so I can share it in the open. When we went to Yola for the last crusade a few months, I think a month or two ago, we went to Yola. One of the person who was driving me around is a doctor, PhD, you know, with his wife. He's been married and they've been no child. This thing has not worked for them. And he decided that he was going to drive me around as a seed. You know, it's been a while they've been married. They're probably following now. And his wife couldn't take in. And, you know, when they were done, we're about to leave, I asked him, I said, what would you want the Lord to do? And then prayed for them. And he sent me a text. I think it was on our way to Bauchi now. Bauchi. It was on our way to Bauchi. I just got a text. He said, Apostle, the text is still on my phone. He said, I called to tell you that my wife went to the hospital and they said, I think she's 3 or a month pregnant. Say results. Shout it. Listen, results are evidences that God is alive. Not just an evidence that a man is anointed. It's much more than that. It's much more than that. It's much more than that. During our dinner, we'll be playing some videos. I hope that the media would consider that. I don't know what their plans are, but I hope that they should incorporate that. And one of the things that we're going to be doing is playing clips and showing you a few pictures of some of the external ministrations. And some of you will marvel and wonder at the hand of God and what He can do when a man is anointed. I've said it and I will say it again and again. The anointing does not make the difference. The anointing is the difference. How can the anointing make a difference when it is the difference? It is the very difference. When all is said and done, the grace that comes upon the life of a man. I have found David my servant, and with my holy oil I have anointed him, and the enemy shall not exert upon him. And then he reads on and he says, and in my glory shall his horn be exalted. Listen, let me tell you something. I have come to respect the anointing not because of what it has done in my life alone, but this ministry you see is a place of possibilities. The testimonies, the tearful testimonies that have come. And it's not just because of Joshua Selman. Take the anointing out of my life and I'm as empty as this chair you see. Are we together? Someone's life is going to be changed because of the anointing. Someone's life will rise because of the anointing. Listen. After you've worked on your gift needs to be anointed. It's one thing to be gifted, but is your gift anointed? It says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, but candle without fire on it cannot give illumination. Are we together? There is an anointing that can come upon you and change the dimension of your entrepreneurial exploits, and you will see things happen that you never believed. There is an anointing that can come on you and your academic career just skyrockets in a way and a dimension. There is an anointing that can come upon your music ministry. So much more than the vocal competence and your work, you lift a voice and sing a song, and that song becomes somebody's healing. That song becomes someone's. I was watching a video today, Covenant Christian Center, and I was watching their leadership, their summit that they hold, their yearly summit, and I was listening to some speakers, and while they were talking, I said, my God, these guys are not just business moguls, they are absolutely anointed. Absolutely anointed. Are we together? Thou anointed my head with oil. You did not anoint my cup. You anointed my head. But that anointed translated to my cup overflowing. There is a relationship between what is on your head and what flows from your cup. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In 2 Kings chapter 4, the wife of the son of the prophet went to Elisha. And Elisha said, what do I need to do to you? What is wrong? What is the problem? And she said, you know, this and that, there is this situation. And then he says, what do you have in your house? And she said, nothing. Thy handmaid had nothing except a little cruse of oil. And he said, that's it. He said, go and borrow vessels, verse 3. Go and borrow vessels. From all your neighbors, he said, borrow not a few. Borrow not a few. If you increase capacity, every oil assumes the shape of the container that holds it. If I pour this water on the cover, listen, if I pour this water on the cover will limit the water. This makes this water look as though it is triangular. Pour it in a plate, the plate will become like that. Are we together? The anointing. And then when she got it, he now told her, he said, go and close the door. When the prophet was talking, the anointing is a living thing. It was hearing. It was hearing the discussion. And the moment she did that, she began to pour the oil. The oil began to multiply. Listen, it's not enough to be anointed. You must be anointed at a level that can command notable results. It's not enough to be anointed. The anointing is like currency. The anointing is like currency. 100 naira can buy sweet, but 100 naira cannot buy shoe. But it is still money. So don't say I'm anointed. The Bible says, Acts chapter 10, right? When Paul was speaking in the house of Cornelius, the salvation of the Jews, in verse 38 he said, how God anointed. Look at the extent to which God anointed Jesus. So it's not just that Jesus was anointed. Look at the extent. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And then the Bible says on the strength of that anointing, he went about doing good and healing all they that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. The anointing. It's not an instrument to shake and fall down and roll. No. Those are just effects of the anointing on the human body. And then alongside with other spiritual dynamics that happen at the point of impartation. But the proof that a man is anointed is not shaking. Results. Results. I don't care whether you shake like a leaf. Results, brothers and sisters.
I just wanna praise you. I lift my hands to say I love you. You are everything to me, and I exalt your holy name. I exalt your holy name. I exalt your
John said, go and ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? Is it true that the anointing is on you? And Jesus said, all right, watch this. The blind eyes open, the deaf ears hear. And he said, go back and tell John. How do you know a man who is anointed? Results. Results. Don't trivialize results. It's not all about the results. Are you joking? What then is it about? Results. Lives change. Results. Hallelujah. When there are miracles and signs and wonders and lives transform, you speak to someone and just one prophetic word turns his life around. You've had all kinds of testimonies here. Someone with jam result 140 something. After prayer, you come back 260 something. How do you explain that? It's the anointing. A woman barren for 8 years returns with triplets, no CS. How do you explain that? Results. Are we together? Results. A whole family almost ravaged with HIV. That caused, and it's not by sleeping around, and just one prayer and everyone is healed. Not just one person. It's called results. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you the truth. You may be criticized, but you will never be ignored. Once the anointing of the Spirit is upon the life of a man, upon the life of a business, Satan will raise criticisms. Why? So that your word will not be heard, so that you will not be believed, and so that people will not be blessed. But here's what the Bible says. You can do nothing against the truth. But for the truth. The truth was buried only for 3 days. After 3 days, it came back to life. Results. Results. Notable results. Not just results. It says the Spirit of the Lord. Please give us Isaiah 61. The messianic prophecy. It was a prophecy about Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, for he has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Are we together? And then he continues and he says to proclaim liberty to the captives, and all of that, to proclaim the year of vengeance of our God, and all of that, to comfort all those who mourn, verse 3. And then he says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. That's what the anointing does. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for the garment of praise. Right? The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Then it says that they may be called oaks or trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he through them might be glorified. That they may be called oaks of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, when a man comes to a ministry, wretched, terrible, not born again, and something happens to him, it's called the anointing. You get born again, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, your life is transformed, your mindset is changed, you become a leader, you become an ambassador of the kingdom, then you are now anointed again to reproduce sin. The anointing. There is nothing, one of our core values, as you know, in this ministry, is the anointing. We believe in the anointing, and we believe that anything that is done outside of spiritual empowerment is a waste of time. Absolutely. So you will see the technical department preparing as though they are prayer band, because everything is done with respect to the anointing. They believe that the sounds are not just instruments of physics. They are spirit and life. Are we together? Listen, please hear me. I do not boast to have risen so far. Compared to where I need to go, I am just starting. But I can tell you this. I have had the privilege of mentorship to lean upon the shoulders of those who represent the systems of God upon the earth. And this is what they have done. And this is what they do daily. The keys are finite. The keys are not infinite, but every one of them is important for the door to open. The keys to your destiny, they are not infinite. They are not so many. But each and every one of them must be there in place. It's like a code. Your passion for God. A transformed mind. Your gifts and your abilities. And then the anointing of God upon you. No, no, no. You can't be weak. You can't be weak. You can't be weak. It's my prayer that after this teaching, someone will not just hear and say, wow, this was nice. Honestly, when you see me talk like this, I talk from my heart, because this is it. You know, sometimes you can be looking for what you don't even know it is. But when someone who has found it says, look, this is what you are looking for, don't go around and waste your time and come back and say, I didn't know it was like this. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Fill this temple with your presence. Make sure you talk to him while praying. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Fill this temple with your presence. Sing it one more time. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Hey, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Welcome to our lives and destinies. Fill this temple with your presence. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. I wait on you.
I wait on you.
Lord, I wait on you. Please pray, please pray. Those outside, you can come in. Clear the way for them so they can.
Lord, I wait on you.
I wait on you. You are welcome. I want you to sing the song. It's not a special number. Fill this temple with your power. That's what we need. The anointing upon our lives. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Fill this temple. We wait on you.
We wait on you.
We wait on you.
Lord, we wait on you.
I wait on you.
I wait on you.
Lord, I wait on you.
I wait on you. Lord, I wait on you.
Take my body, my soul, my spirit, breathe on me.
Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. Abarataya. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. This is my prayer, Lord. You are the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. You are the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Take your place. Take your place. Na 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 na. Take your place. Take your place. Holy Ghost.
To mean business with your destiny. I want you to mean business with your destiny. Don't worry about the rain. There are people who will direct you strategically. Don't be distracted.
Munda ukaka sunanka ubangiji aifaya ungimama sunanka Ubengiji, na loka kasuna ka. Ubengiji kaisa ya bo, na kima kasuna ka. Ubengiji,
na loka kasuna ka. Ubengiji kaisa ya bo, na kima kasuna ka. Hallelujah. Prayer point number one. Father, I declare that my mindset must change. Lift your voice and pray. Pray from the depth of your heart. Are you praying? Change my mindset.
change my mindset. Change my paradigm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Hallelujah. Please help me technical. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to listen to me. The quality of your life on earth is dependent on your level of mental transformation. Not every information is needed and useful for your destiny. The fact that you are getting information does not mean you are growing. The fact that you are learning new things does not mean you are rising. The information you are getting must be needed and useful. It must be needed and useful. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, the grace to edit everything that is not useful for my life and destiny. Lift your voice and pray. Embrusa secato sobratis calabaria da balada 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 balada. The right knowledge, the right information, the right knowledge, the right information. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's raining, but we're still praying. Hallelujah. Apologize to some of those who are at the aisle outside. Sincerely apologize. Hallelujah. As much as possible, if they can find any place, even if it's just outside, let's see how we can help them. But regardless of what condition you're in now, let me tell you, it is profitable what you are doing, because it will pay you more than money in the name of Jesus. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, what have you put in my life that should bless my world? Reveal it to me. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, my gift, Lord, the ability that you have put within me, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare by the power of the Holy Ghost. There is an ability within my spirit. There is an ability that can change my life. There is an ability that can change my environment. Hallelujah. 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 We're praying. The Bible says there is this treasure. The vessel containing it may be earthen, but the treasure is not earthen. It says there is this treasure in Joshua Selman.
there is this treasure in koinonia, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of man. I like you to say, every gift you have put in me, Lord, bring it out, bring it out, bring it out, bring it out. Lift your voice and pray. Every hidden potential, every hidden potential, yes, I'm rising beyond recession. I'm rising beyond limitation. There is a gift in me. Embrace koparata. Shake it, take it, take it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine, not because you are tired of sitting down. He said, they that sat in darkness, the city of Naphtali and Zebulun, he said, they have seen a great light. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The Bible says, for darkness, confusion shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. He said, but upon you, his glory shall arise. Verse 3 says, Gentiles, hallelujah, Gentiles shall come. You will not look for them. Gentiles will come to your light. Gentiles will come. You will not publicize. There is an unction. There is a gift. There is an ability. Gentiles shall come to your light. Then their kings to the brightness of your rising. He said your gates shall be continually open. They will not be closed day or night to receive the forces of the Gentiles. Listen. I want you to lift your voice and cry and say, all those who have been ordained to honor my gift, I call them into my life. Lift your voice and pray. Please be serious. Everyone in every territory, called, ordained, anointed. Everyone called to honor your gift, your business acumen, your intellectual capacity, your education, your skill. Everyone ordained of God, everyone ordained of God, everyone ordained of God, to honor what you carry. Call them forth by the power of the prophetic, by the power of the prophetic. I call them, I call them into my life, I call them into my destiny, I call them into my life, I call them into my destiny. In the name of Jesus, I command them to appear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Let me tell you what the Bible says. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And to him that seeketh, he will find. And to him that knocks, the door will be open. When you knock on that door, it will open, I assure you. I like us to pray. I like you to cry for a fresh anointing that will lift you higher. You are not down.
But where you are is the limitation of the unction. In ministry, in business, there is an oil. There is an unction. Thou anointest my head with oil. Lift your voice and pray for more. Fresh grace. Fresh grace. Fresh grace. Upon my life, fresh grace. Upon Koinonia, new levels, new dimensions of kingdom exploit. For the sake of His Majesty. Oh, upon my life, upon my life, I cannot be ordinary. I cannot be ordinary. There is a supernatural anointing, the power of the Holy Ghost, taking me higher, taking me higher. The power of the Holy Ghost, a superior unction upon my life, a superior unction upon my business, a superior unction. Pray. Upon my marriage, a superior unction. An unction that cannot be ignored. 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 Everyone that asketh, receive it. Everyone that asketh, receive it. Everyone that asketh, receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. It's raining, but hear me. I am a living testimony that when a man cries unto God, he can hear. The last 2 or 3 months have been phenomenal seasons of my life. Stepping into strange operations of graces and unctions. Testimonies beyond imagination. You can pray it through genuine desire. A heart that is thirsty. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, anoint me. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. Affect my life, breathe on me. Songs of Solomon says, because of the ointment, so do the virgins love thee. Because of the ointment, so realms you have never entered will come to you. It's not just talking of women. Because of the ointment upon my head, so do the virgins love thee. They desire to be with you. We are going to pray. I want you to pray this prayer with all your heart. You are going to challenge every door of limitation. See, let me tell you, honestly, if we are to be truthful with ourselves, there are people, you are not down, but you are not up either. You can move up. When you are up, you know you are there. I like you to pray and say, I challenge limitations. You are a spirit and I speak to you. In this season you are living, lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. I challenge limitation over my life. I challenge limitation. I challenge limitation. Everything fighting my anointing, fighting my influence, fighting the glory of the Lord upon Koinonia. I challenge you in the name of Jesus. We come with the rod of a higher priesthood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to pray again. It's a year of multiplied grace and influence. Multiplied grace. Influence means a platform. A platform that can afford you an opportunity to shape the minds of people. I'd like you to pray. We have been indoctrinated that influence is a bad thing. Without influence, the kingdom cannot advance. The key to kingdom advancement is not just evangelism, it's influence. The key, and I, if I be lifted up, not if I be talked about, I will draw all men. The capacity to stand at the front line of systems and legislate and be a communicator of the realities of Christ. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, every influence destined for me, I decree that the grace for it must come on me. Lift your voice and pray. Oh, desire it. Your heart is pure. Influence. Access to kings. Access to nobles. 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 Access to kings. Access to men of influence. Access to custodians of systems. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the blessings and the secret that is responsible for the ease in this ministry is unusual access, unusual influence. God has given us access to politicians, access to governmental figures, access to kings, access to financial people, access to mentors, access to voices that can advocate. Access to the credibility of men. Access to their willingness to let you leverage upon their success. I want you to pray again and say, Lord, the access I need to end struggle, bring it to my life. Bring it to my life. Lift your voice. It's not as hard as we make it. Influence is powerful. Influence is powerful. Please, I'd like you to pray. Lord, I desire influence. The capacity to rise to a platform where your name can be heard, where your glory can be seen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, the body of Jesus was hanging on the cross. The body would have remained there indefinitely. It was not a prayer warrior that demanded the body. A man of influence called Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible says he was a nobleman, a man of influence, and he used his access, are we together, to Herod, to Caesar, to demand the body of Jesus. He was a noble man. He had influence. He had a virgin tomb. He had influence. And he said, look, Herod, I need the body of this man. And he said, you have it. There are things you have been praying for that influence will give you at a platter of gold. Are we together? I shared with you the testimony years ago. Listen to me. How that somebody was too short to get to NDA. And they said, you are disqualified. And then he came back. And because he had access to the EMEA, he complained. And the EMEA said they should go back to NDA and tell the people that EMEA Yakaram, which is saying, the EMEA has added his height. They should take him. That's the power of influence. Are we together? I have gotten certain things in my life on the sheer platform of influence. You need it. Don't let mediocres deceive you that you don't need it. That's why somebody can come and bully a church with their land and collect it together with all the lawyers there. There is no influence. In the military, you should have influence. Somebody that can stand and become a representative. Imagine if Daniel was not in Babylon. Imagine if Esther was not in the king's palace. Imagine if Joseph was not in Egypt. Let me show you how men. There was a time they wanted to kill Paul. It was not prayer. Paul took advantage of his influence. Will you kill a Roman citizen? Because the issue was too serious. If he said, I'm an apostle, he would have died there. He said, I'm a Roman citizen. You don't touch Roman citizens. We have been preached far too long in the body of Christ that the desire for influence is carnality. No. Carnality is the influence of things on your relationship to God. It has nothing to do with wealth. I want to be friends with multimillionaires. I want to be friends with governmental figures so that we can come and say, can you give us land for church here? And they say, you, please have it. Protocols have been bypassed in my life. Protocols have been bypassed in this ministry because God has granted us grace. We are friends with the Nigerian Union of Road Transport Workers. We are friends with the police, the military. You name it, from any angle, there is somebody to speak. When a student is victimized on campus, there are intellectuals among us. There are people who we can speak to. Oh, daddy sir, mommy sir, please can you help this person? Let me tell you, it's a tragic thing when you are in the place of help and there is no voice to speak. Sometimes you are in the prison, you don't have access to the palace. You need somebody who is already in the palace to say, no, I endorse this person. This person is a man of integrity. It's not all about what you can do by yourself. Are we together? Nigeria that is full of bureaucracy and sentiment. You need men and women strategically positioned to help you. Matthew Ashimolowo was the first Christian to be allowed in Ghana, Ghana TV, mainstream, to preach. They refused it. The indigenous pastors did everything to do. They refused it. But when he came, because he was connected to somebody who was connected to the government and they knew that their daily bread was dependent on it, they allowed him. Who has God raised in your life to speak for you? Brothers and sisters, you cannot rise alone. Let me tell you, it's a mystery I'm sharing with you. You need men of influence. It's a class of destiny helpers. Are we together? That somebody can speak to you. Yes, I know the rent is due and they are about to throw you out. But somebody is a friend to your landlord. He can say, please landlord, I know that you are supposed to drive this, but this person is my son. And he say, on grounds of relationship. Do you know, let me tell you, when how you know there is no helper in your life is when you get into trouble. You fight alone. You pray alone. When Daniel was in the den, Darius could not sleep. He rose up the next day. He said, oh Daniel, has your God delivered you? When he said to you, he said, bring him out, go and carry all those people. Throw them in. Who can punish your enemies? Who has what it takes to bring to book they that speak against the purposes of God?
every one of our board of trustees by the grace of God in this ministry is a man or a woman of influence. Are we together? If there are people today, the government cannot come and pull them. There are churches. One of my pastor friends was speaking to me. He heads the branch of one ministry in a particular northern city. And he said how that they had refused. They showed him the letter signed by the governor that they cannot give land. It's impossible. No matter what you do, they cannot give church land. All the other churches that had it since. But in recent times, no, they will not give it. And a particular denomination in this country, they decided to do an expansion program. And they have six of their churches there. All of them own their land. They influence. Shout it again. Somebody called somebody who said, look, be careful. These seeds you are in is for 4 years. You don't play with, no matter how stupid, no matter how a madman is, he does not enter fire by mistake. You need influence. There are many believers, there are many families that are bullied, and there's no one they can run to. There are many men of God that are bullied. They've not, the Bible said, be wise as serpents. You live in an economy, a system that is hostile to anything God. You need influence. Unfortunately, all the people in our lives are like us. We are the most influential persons among them. When God taught me this, I started making friends with billionaires. I'm not looking for their money. Access and influence. Are we together? The property that you want to get, the person said they were giving it to somebody. There are some business persons who came and wanted to get it. But because of influence, they said, no, David, we want to keep believers and we want to keep this ministry. Brothers and sisters, if you don't pray this prayer, you will struggle alone. You don't have to pay for everything by yourself. Let influence pay for some things for you. One more time, I'd like you to cry and say, Lord, connect me to men of influence. Men who fear God, they are men of influence. One recommendation can give you a job. It can give you a job. One recommendation can honor your proposal. Be wise as serpents. Be wise as serpents. Be gentle as doves. Be wise as serpents. Hallelujah. Please lift your hands, I pray for you. In the name of the Lord God of heaven, I pray for you sincerely from the depth of my heart. Number one, that the passion that you have for God will multiply 1,000 times. That the passion you have for God will multiply 1,000 times. Number two, I pray for you access to relevant teachings and material that will reprogram your mind. Receive it. Receive that access in the name of Jesus. Access to relevant resources that will correct wrong thinkings, wrong conditionings that authorize demons and self-inflicted predicaments based on an incorrect understanding of life. I pray that you find access to those materials. Number three, I pray for you. The gift of God upon my life by grace has opened me up to realms I never dreamt of. I pray for you. I don't know what gift my God has put in you, but hear me, brothers and sisters, I want you to receive it. From the depth of my heart, may that gift come alive. May that ability come alive. May that ability come alive. The discipline to refine your gift to a point of flawless global competence. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, there's one of us here. He's in the technical department. He's an expert in IT. He's absolutely good.
absolutely good. And God opened a door for him because of something he did. And he was connected to HP, their headquarters office. And they saw what he did. It was almost unbelievable that a Nigerian can do this. This gentleman I'm talking about is graduating 2018. But his employment letter from HP is already in his hands. I think it's about $180,000 per annum in his hands. Now, he's here listening. It is not your background. It is not your background. Believe me when I tell you. It is not your background. I want us to pray. There are lecturers here. There are academicians here who should not be at the level they are. Are we together? Some of our loved ones should not be there. There are some of us who have graduated, but it's as if you are carrying a piece of paper around. You are just ready for anything because of frustration. I pray for you. Whoever has been anointed by God to have the discernment to recognize your value and to not only celebrate it, but to reward it, I command them into your life right now. I decree and declare that they come into your life right now. Every platform you need to rise to for your grace to be appreciated, I command that that way is made straight for you. And finally, I pray for you. There is an anointing that distinguishes men. That grace that makes the difference, that puts a supernatural touch upon all you do, so that it is inexplainable but undeniable. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. That fresh grace, may it come upon your life. May it come upon your business. May it come upon your organization. May it come upon your ministry. May it come upon your certificate. May it come upon your job. In the name of Jesus. We have in this ministry with God a covenant of exemption. A covenant of exemption. That when men say there is a casting down, for us as a family of faith, we say that there is a lifting up. Not to scorn what is happening, but it's a mystery that God has shown us. The mystery of Goshen and Egypt. I pray that that covenant of exemption that is upon this ministry, may it be upon your life. All through these Ember months, I pray, you are exempted from accident. You are exempted from death. You are exempted from failure. I pray for you. Quarter to shame, may the God that I serve arise for you. Let no man have to say, where is your God? May he arise and prove himself. Hallelujah. Our time is gone, the rain is over, but just give me 1 minute, I want to pray. The Lord showed me a vision, and we must pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord showed me a vision, and in vision I saw blood. I saw blood dripping. There are several people who have had all kinds of visions. Now we are responsible people. If God has made us custodians of a territory, we must make sure that within the limits of our jurisdiction, the purposes of Christ is enforced. Not necessarily in Zaria. Remember, I've taught you about the body. It's not about koinonia, it's about kingdom. If koinonia is safe and the body is destroyed, the kingdom has suffered. It's not about my church, my pastor, Joshua Selman, no. Are we together? The pain of the body is still the bride of Christ. We're going to pray in 1 minute. The festive period is coming to go and the Ember months. This morning, I was lying down and I saw something. Oftentimes I see these things and then I just pray, but this was very serious. I saw like lice, you know, teeth that glands of, it's like somebody just fetched them and poured it over a territory. That's what I saw. And the moment I did that, I remember the book of Proverbs. They lock in hiding and they say, how did they put it now? We will not sleep until they are destroyed. Bloodthirsty spirits that make sure people have all kinds of accidents. The spirit of violence. You find out that people's bodies itching them just to fight and instill violence. It's within our power as ambassadors of the kingdom. It says that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It said, they shall prosper who love thee. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be silent until her glory rises up. She shall be like a royal diadem, a turban. We are going to pray. Stretch your hands to the north, south, east, and west, and prophesy peace. First in Zaria, go ahead. Let's contribute our quota to speaking peace. Every church in Zaria is safe. Everybody in Zaria is safe. Christians, Muslims, they are saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. All through the festive period and all through they are saved. We command every bloodthirsty spirit. We place a mark upon this spiritual border. You have no access to perform your enterprise. You have no access. Now begin to prophesy for other states. We pray for Lagos. We pray for Abuja. We pray for Port Harcourt. We pray for Plateau State. We pray for Kaduna State. No bloodshed. No violence. No bloodshed. No violence. No bloodshed. Hallelujah.